This is Digital Dave, and joining me today is Mrs. Charlie Blackwell Thompson of NASA. Everybody say it with me. NASA. You can do that, you know.
NASA.
Yeah, NASA good.
Well, we certainly think so.
I hope so. And you are you have the unique distinction, I guess is a word, of being NASA's first female launch director.
I do. I feel extremely blessed at having the opportunity to lead a team, to lead a launch team, but to have the opportunity as the first woman to do that is something incredibly special, and I feel honored to have that opportunity.
Okay, now for the rest of us, you know, uneducated, a launch director is the person that runs out there and lights the matches and waves at the fuse?
Well, the launch director is responsible for the planning and the execution of the launch countdown. Our launch countdown for Artemis 1 is about 2 days long, and so it's the responsibility of the launch director, for all of the planning that goes into that, for some of the testing of the capabilities that lead up to that, and then is ultimately responsible for the launch on launch day.
Two-day countdown?
Two-day
countdown. Yeah, most of us think it's like, you know, T-minus 10 minutes. That's where it's all at. 2 days?
Well, most people do think about what we call the terminal portion of count, which is that last little bit, right, where you have that final hole point where you do your poles, you come out, you're ready to go fly. But really, most launch countdowns are longer than that. For shuttle, we had about a 3-day launch countdown, and so we're about a day shorter. Some of the ELV missions are somewhere in the, 8-hour, 12-hour time frame. Some of them are about a day. So we're somewhere right in the middle of where we were with shuttle and maybe what you would know from an ELV countdown. But yeah, we're 2 days long. We start our countdown by getting all of our ground systems, our flight systems configured and ready. We load our cryogenic propellants, LOX and hydrogen, both for our core stage and our upper stage. And then we get into what most people think about as that last part of launch countdown.
Okay, but I was always led to believe that actual fuel loading was one of the last steps, because once it's in there, you don't want to have to take it out. Everything's a lot more dangerous once it's fueled.
Well, it is absolutely more dangerous once it's fueled. That's part of our hazardous ops of launch countdown, or what we call HAZOPS. But that is technically one of the last things that we do, but it's not an instantaneous thing. It takes several hours to go load the cryogenic propellants into the vehicle. Again, for Artemis, we have two stages. We have the core stage and the upper stage, and we have a sequencer that loads those two stages. Once we finish up with that, our countdown is relatively short after that, because for Artemis 1, we don't have a crew. It's an uncrewed mission, and so there's just about 2 hours of work that follows the cryogenic propellant loading. And so you're correct in that, is that it's one of the last things that we do, but it's not instantaneous before that final hold.
Right. And meanwhile, what are you doing? You're just listening to your team, shepherding, you're keeping track of the whole process?
Yes, pretty much. I have an incredible team of engineers that's about a hundred people, a little less than 100 people, that sit in Firing Room 1 in the Launch Control Center. They have systems that they are monitoring. They have parameters that they're monitoring against, determining if we are go or no-go. And we ensure that we are compliant with those parameters. And if not, then we go off and talk about, what we need to do to be compliant with those parameters. So the team has a really hard job, I would say, in that last part of launch countdown, especially when you think about that final poll and you think about those last minutes and seconds ticking off the countdown clock, and you have a short amount of time to evaluate your system and to determine if you are go or no go, if you have a launch commit criteria exceedance, say in that last 10 minutes. So that's the role of the team on the floor that's in the control center. Like I said, I think they have a tough job. For me, I am looking at where we are overall for launch. Where are we on our timeline? What open work are we carrying? Do we have any risks that are out there that we need to go talk about or have our mission management team go evaluate? Just are we moving in the direction and at the pace that we need to is kind of the role of the launch director.
Okay, you mentioned something that I'm not familiar with. Open work, is that like someone says flight, whatever they call you, I've got a sensor here that I'm not too sure about, let me work this? Is that what you mean when you say that?
It can be something like that. When I talk about open work, it could be either things that are in front of us that we have yet to do, because again, the launch countdown is 2 days long, and so sometimes you may, you know, run into a hiccup as you're getting configured. Maybe something took a little bit longer than you anticipated, and so, you know, we have a very precise timeline, and so you may be behind with respect to your planning timeline, and so we call that open work. Hey, that's still in front of us. We got to go do it. But it also could be that you had, you know, something you didn't expect to happen. Maybe you had an anomaly within your system and you got to go troubleshoot that. And so that's also what we would refer to as open work.
Do you build extra time into your countdown just for occurrences like that?
In a way, we do. So we have two holds in our countdown. One is before tanking, and that is a catch-up point in case you get behind, because you don't want to impact your start of tanking, because tanking kind of sets the time frame for your T0. And so if you get too far behind, you know, you have some areas where you can make up time, but if you get too far behind going into tanking, then you're going to impact your T0. And so what I mean by that is, you know, we have for our missions about a 2-hour launch window.
Right.
And so it means you're not going to hit it when it first opens. If you get too far behind, you're going to eat window. So we'd like to have a catch-up point before tanking to take care of that, so everybody can, one, you know, make sure that we're right where we need to be. It gives our team collectively a moment to evaluate our systems. We, you know, poll to make sure that we are ready to go. And we also convene and look at any anomalies or nonconformances that we've had over that first day of launch countdown. We look at any open work that could be a threat to that T0. We go talk about that as a team. And then we actually get a go for tanking. And so that's one of our holds. The other hold, I think you referred to earlier, is right before terminal count, and it's there for exactly the same reason. You want to take that pause to make sure you're ready to go. It provides a catch-up point, and then also it is where you do your final poll before you get into what is the most hazardous part of launch countdown.
Now, this Artemis mission, I'm not familiar with the actual mission, but is this a new design rocket?
It is a new design rocket. It is built on proven propulsion technology, though. Same engines that we flew on Shuttle, similar boosters. We got an extra segment. We have Shuttle had 3 engines. We have 4 RS-25 engines. So built on proven technology, but absolutely a new vehicle.
Right. So that's
for a new mission.
Yeah, and it's, as a launch director, it's like you have never run this sequence before for this rocket. So you've got to really be paying attention and all that kind of stuff before you say, yeah, okay, let's go.
Well, and it all starts way before launch day. So sometimes folks ask me, you know, what do you do today, right, as you're getting ready for launch? What does today look like? And what I would tell you is that, you know, we are building our launch team. Like, the launch team doesn't happen instantaneously. So we have a series of simulations where we get in the control center. We have simulated data that the team is looking at. We interject problems in, and I don't know what they are. The team doesn't know what they are.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So you're doing simulations.
Yes. Yeah. And we go through and we make sure that just about anything that the vehicle or the ground systems could throw at you on launch day, that we're prepared for. And so we've already started that, and we do those about once a month or so. We do it for the cryogenic loading phase as well as terminal count. So that's what I call building the launch team. Then there's building the procedures themselves. As you said, it's all brand new. We have brand new ground systems. Some of them are heritage systems from Shuttle that have been changed, but nothing is exactly the same. And so we are putting together our plans, our procedures for launch. And it's not just here's how you go do launch and here's all the steps to get to T0, but you also have to have those things that are your contingency procedures, where if I exceed this launch commit criteria, here's the steps I'm going to go take to try to go solve this in a very short amount of time. And so we have those things underway. We also have what I call launch capabilities. Launch capabilities are things like kind of like you and I are here today, where we're talking to one another over the net. You know, I talk to my counterpart, the flight director at Johnson Space Center. We have support launch teams that are located both at Johnson and at Marshall Space Flight Center. So we have to have ways in which we communicate together. We have to have ways to exchange data. We have to be looking at similar kinds of displays. We have to have imagery systems. And so all of those are things that I put in a bucket called launch capabilities. And so we're getting those those items in place. We're busy testing them today. And then there's that part of launch, which is that launch day execution that everybody thinks about when you talk about launch. But there's a lot that goes into planning for that day.
Yeah, you guys don't like to have any T's uncrossed.
That is correct.
How many launch directors does NASA have? I can't imagine there's more than 20 of you.
It's just a handful of us. And for Artemis, just me.
Right. So you're very involved in the program from the beginning, all the way, because you need to understand everything about this thing as much as you can, because you're going to be the one pressing the button, literally. That's quite a responsibility.
It is quite a responsibility, and it's one that I take extremely seriously. The thing that brings me comfort and where I have confidence is I know my team, and we have gone through, and we will have gone through by the time we get to launch, 10-plus sims together. And I know that I can count on them to make the right calls at the right time and without doubt trust their advice.
Right, because that's the name of the game when things go wrong.
Yes, it is.
And they won't go wrong. So we're not jinxing it. It's going to go perfect. In fact, when it's all over, you're going to be like, wow, that was easy.
I hope you're right that it will be easy. I'm certain it will be. My experience from shuttle says, you know, we would have sims and you would have every kind of problem that the sim team and the sim soup, as we call the lead of the sim, could come up with. And so when you would get to launch, it would be so much smoother than you ever had in a sim. But that's by design, you know,
right.
Because you want to have all of those hectic days, you want to have all of those hard problems occur in a sim, and you practice them and you proceduralize what you're going to go do so that when it happens, or if it ever happens on a real day, that you're ready for it.
Yeah, and it's automatic. Your response is automatic.
Yep, it's kind of that muscle memory thing. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm fully confident that my team will have that down and that we will be ready to go on Artemis 1 launch day.
Wow, exciting. When is launch day?
Launch is just a little over a year from now. The actual date is under assessment. We are looking to have boots on the moon in 2024 and our first crewed flight in 2022.
Okay, so you're going to send a whole astronaut, right? Not just the boots?
We're going to send the whole astronaut. In fact, we're going to send the next man and the first woman to the moon, which is very exciting.
That is, it's all very exciting. I want to thank you for joining us, Charlie Blackwell Thompson from NASA. This is Digital Dave, and you're listening to EAA Radio.